All right, we'll begin in Genesis chapter 3, where the old serpent gave us clues on how he works. Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Which we all know. And actually, I didn't want to do this, Tisha. I'm like, I want to do something really positive and fun. But you kept coming back to it. You're like, okay. Obviously, for somebody here.
That's what the boss wants to talk about, right?
That's right, yeah. So, yeah, I try to be very obedient. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any living thing of the field which Yahweh Elohim hath made. So he said unto the woman, can it really be that Elohim hath said, he shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent. So first thing we've got to say is, Bollinger says, our adversary is in the pulpit. He's there to question the word of Yahweh. We're not fooled by murderers. We're not fooled by pitchforks and red horns and red bean that somebody's got, which is so obvious it's ridiculous. He is there to question Yahweh's word. Did God say? So this is his first tactic. And we know when Christ was tempted, are you the Son of God? He knew he was the Son of God. So it's always questioning, and then he quotes Scripture. Can the adversary quote? Yes, he can. And the woman said unto the serpent, and that's the problem. She should have said, here's written. Real simple. He says, we shall surely die. And of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.
That's not what he said.
Yeah, that's not what he said either. He added to the word, and it's like in the foundation of a class. He omitted a word, he added a word. And that's the subtlety, you know, which we'll find out. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not die. And in the Hebrew, it's die and that does not die. So the word die is used twice. In the same way within in chapter 2. But dying you do not die. And that is the same doctrine that is preached in the Catholic and the Protestant church right now. The same lie that the serpent did. They're duplicating that. As we saw with the St. Teresa's billboard there, you know, which is nice. They got some nice things out here, but pray for those who are deceased. Yeah. No. You know, they're deceased, but according to them, nobody's deceased. Everybody's either in purgatory, they're in limbo, they're in heaven, or they're in hell. And they're possibly the same thing. They just say heaven or hell. There's no limbo or purgatory. Just it's a lie of our adversary. And actually, they're reciprocating that. They are the instrument. And for Elohim doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then shall your eyes be opened, and ye shall become like Elohim, knowing good and evil. Okay, there's our tactics. Now we go to Ephesians chapter 6. We know this. So, out of the mouth of the church. And what better place to do it? I mean, what great.
Chapter 6, did you say?
Yeah, chapter 6, verse 10. And this is our armor and our eye-opening to the spiritual kingdoms that are actually going on. For the rest, be empowering yourself in the Lord and in the grasp of his might. Put on the complete armor of Yahweh with the view to you having power to stand against the strategies of the adversary. Because our struggle is not against blood and flesh, and that's what we've got to look at. It's not against the Democrat Party. Obviously, they're instruments, but there's something so much deeper in that. But against the principalities, against the authorities, against the ruled holders of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. For in this cause take up the complete armor of Yahweh, in order that you may receive power. You got to have the armor on, you have power to withstand in the evil day. And all things having accomplished to stand. So that's what we're doing right now, standing. And you got to be able to stand against the adversary. This is at the bottom of the teaching. I'm going to keep reading. But here's a good quote from Proverbs 24:10, not in the Rothram. It's a little more different. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Very simple. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So we are made to stand. And I love the Marvel heroes. When we look at that Thor Ragnarok, and the dragon's blowing, or whatever, they're blowing fire, and he's got this shield, and he's just standing, and it's going all around him, and you keep walking forward. It's just, otherwise, boom, you're knocked down, you're done. And so we have to have the fortitude to stand. And 14, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth. God, you know, if you don't have this, you're going to be a mouthpiece for the Satan. You know, and that's what the church is today. In many years, they are the agents of Satan. Because when they speak the lie and teach the lie, well, whose lie is that? That's Satan's. Having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and shod your feet with the readiness of the glad message of peace, withal taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall, now this is a promise, ye shall have power all the ignited darts of the wicked ones to quench. That's what we're doing right now. You put on that shield of faith. And the helmet of salvation will welcome you, and the word of the Ruach, the sword of the Ruach, which is what Yahweh has spoken. There's our whole shield. There's our armor. You got to have the truth. You got to know how to operate the Spirit. You've got to know discerning the spirits. And the church, is, as we're going to see many times, is completely lax on them. Not lax. They say it doesn't even happen. But we'll go through that. So now we go to the strategies of the beast. And what I'm going to say, we know the mark of the beast in the book of Revelation. But there are marks or signs of the beast everywhere we go. And you have to be able to identify those so you're not fooled. And one of them is, and we're going to see this right now in the United States, conform or be ostracized. So very simply, and this is what the church today, conform or you'll be ostracized. And that is, you know, as social creatures, we want to be in the group. Very simply. You ever look at cows and geese, you see one goose by himself, he's very lonely. He's calling out yelling. For somebody. He's yelling the same way with the cows. They'll do that. We're the same way. So our Satan says, okay, we're going to put the pressure on him, conform or be ostracized. And ostracized was a very interesting word. It comes from the Greeks, and actually it means shale or pot shell. But they would vote, and they would write a name on a pot shell.
What's a pot shell?
Yeah, it's like a tile, okay, or oyster shell or something like that. Inexpensive stuff. And they're writing on it. That's what the word means, actually. And they voted to banish unpopular citizens. This is just known. And so you voted to banish unpopular people.
But nobody knows who voted.
Yeah, but why are they voting? Because now, if a person was a troublemaker, well, we can see people don't want that troublemaker. But if a person was a nonconformist, to, you know, if we are pedophiles, let's say the Spartans in Greece were pedophiles. It was part of their society. And somebody speaking against pedophilia, well, we don't like that person. All right? So we write down, and that's where he gets ostracized and gets banished from the kingdom. And that's how Satan works. Satan works very a natural way. And so there's a distinction, and like with the kids too, there is no in-between. Real simple. You're either operating with Satan by conforming, or you're against Satan by not conforming. Very simply. And if a person doesn't know where you stand, you know what you are? You're a conformist. If a person doesn't know where you stand, you are a conformist. Because the majority conform. That's what it is. All right? And as you can see, you know, the Trump, things like that, where, you know, by trying to non-conform, you know, they threaten people, you know, and so people don't put bumper stickers on, or so they can be a closet nonconformist. And we know that with Christianity too, you know, when we're talking about the Trinity and things like that, you know, it's pressure, and you cannot be part of this church, which we know that that's our Satan's tactics. Now we go into, the Revelation chapter 7, and we start seeing the markings. You know, so we're going to have a mark on us, that I'm either a son of God, all right, or I have a mark of the beast. And so it all comes down to...
This isn't us. This is after we're gone.
You know, it really comes down to, Yahweh's got two positions. It's really simple. You're going into the lake of fire, or you're going to be on a new earth. Which is it? There is no in-between.
Yeah.
There is no... Here's another place for all those who didn't want to make a decision.
Yeah.
All right. Very simply. Okay, you're going to go right here into Wandering Land or something like that. I don't know what that even is.
Where's Switzerland going to go?
Yeah. It'd be like a Switzerland. Yeah. But Revelation 7, it's black and white. Real simple. Things aren't black and white. Yeah, they are. It really is. I mean, when you have this book and it says... Don't do that. And right here it's going to say, don't take the mark of the beast. Yeah. And if you do, you know what's going to happen to you? Lake of fire.
Yeah.
Well, is that a figure of speech? I don't think that's going to be for everybody or whatever you're going to justify. But let's look at the good seal down in Revelation 7, verse 3. We're going to see the good seal. Saying, do not injure the land or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God upon their foreheads. Okay, now we're going to go to chapter 9, verse 4. We're going to just go through Revelation. Same page.
Wait a minute, I'm going to have a little trouble finding this.
9, verse 4. And we're just going to see about... You know, in this time period, and I think symbolically today too, is very simple. Spirit, no spirit. Spirit, no spirit. And it was bidden them that they should not injure the herbage of the earth or of any green thing or any tree, but only the men who have not the seal of Yahweh upon their foreheads.
Yikes.
Okay, there's a big distinction. 14 verse 1. Chapter 14 verse 1. And I saw, and lo, the Lamb standing upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and his Father's name written upon their what?
Foreheads.
You know, so people are, you know, as you can say, my God, they're embarrassed of the name Yahweh. Can you even believe such a thing? And I think of a conformity, you're going to conform. Who would have, you know, the United States right now, with a new party running, they want men and girls' bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Could anybody even believe in their wildest dream that such a thing would even be even visible in any kingdom in the world? Mm-hmm. And this is, right now, the United States of America. Mm-hmm. So don't ever underestimate the power of conformity, and if you speak against that, we're going to put pressure on you to conform. You will conform. And now we're going to say with the saints, no, we're not conformed. So we make a stand. But the wickedness, now we go to, 22:4, how it really ends, of Revelations. And a stamp on our foreheads, Yahweh and Yahushua.
Hold on, where
well, I'm just saying, remember the stamps on the forehead. Oh. 22:4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their what?
Foreheads.
You know, yeah. Be proud of our God, and to be able to say for 2,000 plus years that Christians, translators, pastors are offended
by the name of their God.
By the name of their God that supposedly they worship. Astounding. astounding. The traditions of men and that nonconformity. You know, hey, you conform, because somebody's telling us to conform. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who started this, but we just keep falling in line because we're not going to make waves. But now we go to the beast on his seals, chapter 13, and how he works. And we're going to read this whole chapter. Now, I think for the other people too, you've got to realize this is how they work. And it's very important to realize, how does the beast work?
What chapter?
13. Revelations 13. We're going to read 1 through 18. And I saw out of the sea a wild beast coming up, having 10 horns and 10 heads.
Seven
heads, and upon his horns 10 diadems, and upon his head names of blasphemy. We're going to come right back here, but just go to 14:9. And who are these guys? Chapter 14, verse 9. And another of the third messenger followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone does homage unto the beast and his image and receive a mark upon his forehead, let me see here. That's not right. 14:9. No. Wrong place. Oh, I guess it's 17.
17 what?
Nine. Mm-hmm.
Verse 9. Not 14, but 17, verse 9. Who are these 10? Here is the mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains whereunto the woman sitteth, and they are seven kings. The five have fallen, the one is, the other hath not yet come. And whensoever he shall come, a little while must he remain. And the wild beast which was and is not, and he is the eighth and is of the seventh, and unto destruction goeth away. Very confusing. Yes. But here's the point. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, who indeed have not received sovereignty as yet, but authority as kings for 1 hour shall receive with the wild beast. What are they going to do with this authority? These have one mind, and their power and authority, this is how it works. Satan and his kingdom cannot control anybody. But he can ask Esther to control people. Or you can ask Wendy to control people. And how he's going to do that is, that's how Hitler works. That's how Stalin works. That's how Pol Pot works. And their power and authority unto the wild beast they give. These with the Lamb make war, and the Lamb will overcome them. But leaders give their freedom of will to do the adversary's bidding. So he can't kill anybody, but somebody who's demonized can sure kill somebody. So now let's go back to 13, verse 2. And you're seeing that with China. Any communist country has given their authority to the beast, very simply. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, his feet as a bear, and mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave unto him his power. So, you know, the beast is an individual, a human being. The dragon is not. The dragon is the adversary. So we get to see who the dragon is. The dragon gave unto him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads showing that it had been slain unto death, and the stroke of his death was healed. And so when people saw John Kennedy shot in the head, if he would have survived that, he could have been the sign of the beast. He could have been the beast. And some people look at that. Because it looks like there's a head wound. The person's dead, and then they're not dead. And the whole earth marveled after the wild beast and did homage unto the dragon by going to the beast. And so you go to the Democrat Party, by bowing to the Democratic Party, you're honoring the dragon. And that's sodomy, abortion, everything that I want, men in girls' bathrooms, you know. So that's the Democrat Party right there. Because he gave his authority unto the wild beast, and they did homage unto the wild beast, saying, who is like unto the wild beast, and who can make war with him? And that's really Barack Obama. You know, people really idolized him. And he is a wicked, wicked individual. More wicked than probably anybody around there, if you have any idea. Yeah. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking grave things and blasphemies, and was given unto him to act 42 months. And he opened his mouth for blasphemy against Yahweh, to blaspheme his name and his tent, them who in the heavens were tabernacling. And you see the black square brackets, that means it was added, so we're going to skip that. And there was given him authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all they who are dwelling upon the earth will do homage unto him, everyone whose name is not written in the scroll of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now we're going to be all gone, so we're not going to be here. But the people who have the mark of Yahweh on them are not going to bow to him, but everybody else is going to. If anyone hath an ear, let him hear. If anyone carried into captivity goeth away. If anyone with a sword to slay, he must with a sword be slain. Here is the endurance and the faith of the saints. And I saw another wild beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like unto a lamb, and began speaking as a dragon. This is the false prophet for the beast. So you have three, people will call this a trinity. You have the wild beast, who is a man. You have the dragon, that's our adversary, a spiritual being. And then you have the prophet, which is the man who's going to support the wild beast. So it'd be like his right-hand man. And all the authority, verse 12, and all the authority of the first wild beast he used before him, and caused the earth and them who therein are dwelling, that they shall do homage unto the first wild beast whose stroke of death was healed. Now think of that, because we're going to find out if you do not conform, something's going to happen. You're going to do homage, or something's going to happen. And that's, you conform or else. That's our adversary. It's interesting, I was telling Wendy, if you're a Democrat, you have to be for abortion, period. You have to conform, or you're not, you're part of a Democrat. With a Republican, they can be for it or against it. Right? But with the Democrat Party, it's all, they've all bowed to the same image.
Freedom of choice, huh?
Yeah. And why? Because they will terrorize, and they will ostracize, and they will say, we'll make you an example if you do not bow to us. And that's what's going to happen here. And that's how you see our adversary works.
That was our riots, Antifa and Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, and he doeth great signs. So this false prophet for the beast is going to do miracles. And he does great signs, so that even fire he causes to be coming down unto the earth and to men. And he deceiveth them who are dwelling upon the earth by reason of the signs which was given him to do before the wild beast, saying unto them who are dwelling upon the earth that they should make make it. Now, another thing, too, the Democrat Party, but let's just think about Amazon, we're talking about Facebook, we're talking Google. About Twitter, Google. We're talking about Google, have all joined in saying they have bowed to the beast. They are instruments of the beast, who make an image unto the wild beast, who hath the stroke of the sword, and did live. And it was given unto him to give spirit, or to give breath, unto the image of the wild beast. So they made a wild beast that probably looks like the man. And watch what's going to happen. In order that the image of the wild beast should both speak and should cause as many as should not do homage unto the image of the wild beast should be slain. So here's a statue which you have built, and it's going to come alive, and it's going to talk, and it's going to marvel everybody. And if you do not do homage unto the wild beast that he represents, you're going to be killed. And he causes all, you know, here's just an example. There's a guy named Michael Cervantes, and he was a very smart guy, a Spaniard. And this is about the 1500s. And he actually was the first one to illustrate the pulmonary system. And he wrote a paper against the Trinity, and he was having a dispute with Calvin, who was in not Switzerland, Geneva. Yeah, that's Geneva, Switzerland. Yeah, that's where his capital was. Back and forth with Calvin. Or Zurich, or whatever. I think it was Zurich. And for some reason, he had to go through Zurich, Michael Cervantes. And in those days, everybody was mandatory to go to church. And so if you were seen not in church on Sunday, the whistle would be blown. And so he was seen not to be in church, and they found out who he was. And Calvin, which is the Presbyterian Church today, found out it was Michael Servetus, and so he grabbed him and had him burned at the stake alive. And even when Michael Servetus says, "Can you kill me first?" he said, "No. That is of what you do because you spoke against Calvin."
All right? Trinity.
Yeah, now think, but that's just true history right there. That's a Presbyterian church, and we know many people were murdered because you cannot disavow the Trinity. So if you were against the Trinity in this particular time, you were either banished or killed, very simply. So think of that doctrine on Satan behind all of this. Fascinating. 15, and it was given unto him to give spirit, I guess, 16, and he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free and the bond that they should give unto them a mark upon their right hand or upon their forehead, and that no one should be able to buy or to sell. And that's what the Democrat Party does today and tries to find out who you are so we can out you.
Where's your mask?
Yeah, well, we're going to see if you buy guns or not. We're going to know who you are and who you vote for, because we're going to ruin your life unless you do what we say. You conform to us or we ostracize you. Save he that hath the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. He that understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And we know the mark of the beast were created on the sixth day also. So we know man was created on the sixth day, but the beasts were created first. So both of them on the sixth day. So that's the ability of the man. So these are the techniques, and this is obviously the extreme, but the same adversary is alive and well in the United States, and as we've seen, these attackers are being used right now. And have always been used. Now a little bit more noticeable. And so now we go to Numbers 24. And this is what we discussed maybe a month ago. But Moses, you know, the going through the wilderness. So we know at this particular time in Numbers 24, just give you an example of how he works. This is the 40th year of them being in the wilderness. And so Miriam has died in the 40th year. Aaron has also died. And now we're going to get into Balaam and Balak. This is right at the end. And so they're already in Moab, right across the river Jordan. And right across the road is Jericho. And that's where they're about ready to go in. 40 years later, you have a whole other generation of people. And guess what? You know, they've been living under the provisions of Yahweh by the cloud, by being fed by manna, and manna and quail. And once they crossed over, that when they got into Og and Sion, that was in the 40th year also. Now they're eating the corn and things like that. They're eating their crops. But they've been heard about and maybe lived with the women, saw Yahweh speak the Ten Commandments off the mount. You saw all these wonders that happened. And so you got all this saying, there's no way you're going to go against Yahweh, right? Hmm. Wrong. So people said, if I just saw something, I would believe. Here's people who lived under that. And so in 24, verse 25, then Balaam arose and went and returned unto his place, and Balak also went his way. So Balak was telling Balaam to curse Israel because they were stronger than them. And so he did it three times, but he didn't curse them. He blessed them. Okay, but something else goes wrong now. 25. Let's see here. And Israel remained among the Acadians, and the people began to go away unchastely unto the daughters of Moab. So here's our adversary. who invited the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And so instead of trying to fight you, we're going to become your friends. And not only that, we got some good-looking chicks here. And guess what? You are some hunk. You are some massive hunks. We just love what you've done. And guess what? You can not only have our flesh, our bodies, but you get to be introduced to our gods. And guess what? It's like putting the ring in the nose of a bull. You're being led to the slaughter, and that's what happens. To invite the people unto the sacrifice of their gods, so the people did eat and did bow themselves down unto their gods after 40 years, for God's sakes, man. Thus Israel let himself be bound unto Baal Peor, and Baal means Lord, Lord Peor, and the and Baal is not a bad word. Husbands are called Baals. Masters are called Baals. It just means owner. And the anger of Yahweh kindled upon Israel, and Yahweh said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and crucify them unto Yahweh in the face of the sun, that the heat of the anger of Yahweh may turn away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay each one his men who have let themselves be bound unto Baal Peor. So, I mean, this is a whole other generation of men. And lo, a man of the sons of Israel came in who brought near unto his brethren a Midianite woman before the eyes of Moses. Look at this. Before the eyes of Moses, before the eyes of all the assemblies of the sons of Israel. And this was a prince. He's a head person. Very important. And she was a very important person too. When they were weeping at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aharon, the priest, saw it, so he rose up out of the midst of the assembly and took a spear in his hand and went in after the man of Israel into the pleasure tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman in her parts of shame. So the plague was restrained from against the sons of Israel. How many people died? Then was it found that they who had died by the plague were 24,000. 24,000 people are dead in a matter of probably a week, if even that. Because this is the 40th year. They're going in there, and I thought, my God, the travesty of Satan and not knowing how he works and not knowing how the people are corrupted and then they conform, that's what happens. Now, they're also going to be, in our particular field, they are disguised as servants of Yahweh. John chapter 8. As they were, they've always been this way. You know, how about Korth and Abiram and all the other people? You know, who went against Yahweh by going against Moses. But here's 8, verse 13. Got to give you the context. So who are we talking to? 8:13. Melania, what's the first word? First couple words?
The Pharisees.
The Pharisees. That's who we're talking to. Who are the Pharisees? They are the religious Hebrew leaders of a sect. They are, quote unquote, followers of Yahweh. They are at the temple. They are obeying the words of Yahweh. But let's see who these guys really are. Now we go to, let's see here, verse 42 to 49. Yahushua said unto them, if Yahweh...
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Same chapter, 8:42. Okay. Sorry. Yahushua said unto them, if Yahweh had been your father, you had been loving me. For I from Yahweh came forth and am here. For not even of myself have I come, but he sent me forth. Excuse me. Wherefore is it that my speech you do not understand? Very simply, you're going to speak to people, and they're going to be Christians many times, and they are not going to understand what you're saying. They are blinded, or they are the adversary in the church. Because you cannot hear my word. And so these guys were the church people. They were part of the church. You're of your father, the what?
Adversary.
The adversary. And the covenant of your father you choose to be doing. Wait a minute, so you mean the church has been infiltrated? Yes.
What else would be implicated?
Yeah, I mean, it's just infiltrated. He was a murderer from the beginning, and in the truth he stood not. Wait a minute here. How did the Messiah die?
By the Pharisees.
By murder. And who had he murdered?
Religious.
Yeah, the religious people. Did Pilate want to murder him?
No.
No. Well, what are the odds? And why did they murder him? Because he was healing people? Yeah. I mean, now think of that. Just think how that is. And then in Acts later on, they say, stop speaking about this Jesus, because
you're
putting his blood upon us. Wait a minute here. Weren't you the guys out there? The chief priest said, crucify him. Crucify him. And now, not only did they say that by trying to flip it, to say that, no, we didn't have this guy murdered. And you see that with the Democratic Party all the time.
Yeah,
it's just lie after lie, and that's what you see. You're murdered from the beginning, and the truth, he stood not, because truth is not in him. Whensoever he speaketh falsehood or lie, of his own he speaketh, because false he is, and the father of it. Look at verse 59. And what after this nice talk did he have? They took up stones, therefore, that they might cast at him, but Yahushua was hidden and went forth out of the temple. Now, this is for other people. This is a figure. This whole incident is a figure. It didn't literally happen. Because we know that Yahushua was only Jerusalem once. This is in the middle of John, so this did not happen. But it's a figure, and a figure, I mean, it did literally happen, but figuratively, the truths are still there. So just remember, a figurative is more important than being literal, very simply. But when you look at this, this did not happen. And that's a whole other story that we find out that Yahushua's ministry was 6 months and not 3 years. Listen to the other teaching and watch the bit or read the teaching about the Gospel of John on our website. Don't have time to go into that now. Now we go into Matthew 23. Let's see here.
That's Democrats now saying that they weren't the other ones that freed the slaves.
Now you guys are the slave owners.
No, we're not. We're Republicans.
And they still are.
Yep.
You know, but it is, we got to look at the style. It's not that it's behind the Democrats, this wickedness that comes around, and if we are aware of it, we can expose it. And our job is for the young people to expose it and not be hidden by it. And like one person said, it was neat. There's on Facebook, and it talked about how many children have died because of the NRA. Right? And they said, well, how many children have died from Planned Parenthood? I mean, and that's just so obvious. No children have died of the NRA. Actually, they've been protected because somebody's armed. But the Planned Parenthood, which is planned abortion, it's not Planned Parenthood, so they have to, it's planned abortion.
These are us.
Has done millions. Yeah, so but you've got to be able to go bam, bam, bam. Mm-hmm. That ain't flying here, guy. Because everybody says it doesn't mean anything. Sharpening our skills, 23:14, and I rebuke you.
23:14.
Yeah, 14. But watch this. Now he is in Jerusalem. In Matthew, this is the end of the book. He is in Jerusalem. But alas to you, scribes, and now think of a pastor, so we've got to look at that. And for the churches that we're around, basically, you're never going to hear any reproof whatsoever because it's not popular. Now think if a pastor is going to be saying this, and this is their boss, this is Christ, who you're supposed to, you've really pledged your life to serve, they won't speak against the Democrat Party. You know, the Catholics won't, Protestants won't, majority of all of them. My God, you are nothing. You are an instrument of the Democrat because you have conformed. Because we tell you not to, or we'll make your life miserable. We'll make you an example, so conform. And so they conform because they don't want to be ostracized until they keep getting pushed back and pushed back. And now abortion is okay, or homosexuality is not our best. And then you keep getting pushed back, and then you got the United Methodist Church, which you got homosexual pastors. Mm-hmm. And so it has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. It's an abomination to Christianity. But here we go. But alas for you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you are locking up the kingdom of the heavens before men, for you are not entering in, neither them who are entering suffer you to enter. This is like, alas for you, pastors, all right, and
priests.
Hypocrites. And so this is what it's all about. We've got time. I don't think we're going to have time, but you can read through this, and we'll kind of skip through all this and go to, let's just sum up with 34. But all this is, he's just hitting them right in the face. Yeah, is this going to make him popular? He could care less about being popular. So he is there to get the people to turn back and prepare the way for Yahweh. So I'll go ahead and let them do their devices, and then I'll work on them and work on them and work on them. They can come into my church and do their devices and cohabitate and
smoke cook them.
Yeah, smoke pot and whatever you're doing, and we'll just look the other way. Because we're saving them for Jesus. Now 34, for this cause, lo, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Guess what? If somebody's coming to you, you better and giving you some things you don't want to hear, they might just be sent from Yahweh. You better consider what they're saying.
Consider it with the word.
Yeah, you consider it with the word and say, God, am I, because Yahweh cares, and he sends people to us. You're going to tell them the truth. And if they reject the truth, and they reject the truth, and they reject it, you know what happens?
Stop saying.
No more messages.
How many more?
No more messages. Just like some from them you will slay and crucify. Oh, such a nice thing. People want to be a prophet? Prophet Bob, Prophet Joe, Prophet Samuel. Everybody wants to be a prophet, but they won't speak anything that's going to...
Unprofitable.
Yeah, unprofitable. And some from among them you will scourge in your synagogues. Oh, that's a nice job. Sign up. Well, you could be killed. People aren't going to like you at all. Mm-hmm. People are going to call you names, and they might even stone you or scourge you. And pursue from, and actually they're going to chase you from city to city. Oh yeah, I'm going to sign up for this job. Prophets? No, I want the one that pays really good.
I want the other prophets.
You get the silk suits and the jet airline, like Kenneth Copeland.
Creflo Dollar.
Yeah, Creflo Dollar. Those are the prophets I want to be.
Maybe I could do it in a radio.
Yeah. So you got that there may come upon you all righteous blood poured out upon the earth from the blood of Abel or Abel. I think it's Abel, the righteous, unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barashiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, before I begin this, Joe.
Olstein.
Pardon me?
Olstein?
No, not Joe.
Joe?
Summit.
Joe Wright?
Yeah, Joe Wright made a statement once. He says, some of the meanest people I ever met were in church.
Yeah.
And then that's Darnell's. That's tares that are right in there. Verily I say unto you, all these things will come upon this generation. Jerusalem, that slayeth the prophets. Do you know why he only went there once?
They would have killed him.
Well, they kill him by being there once. Because the holy place was the evil place. It was the den of Satan.
Just like seminary.
Yeah, just like Rome. Any place like that. You know, Martin Luther would have never gone into Rome. He would have been killed. And so people say he was in... If Yahushua's ministry was 3 years, he would have been in Jerusalem 9 times. And so this is why he didn't go to Jerusalem, because they're going to kill you.
Well, they did kill him.
Yeah, they did. So Jerusalem, that slayeth the prophets and stoneth them that have been sent unto her. Why? Because they're telling them something they don't want to hear. It's called Reproof. How often would I have gathered thy children like a hen gathereth her chickens underneath her wings, and would not? Lo, your house is left to you, for I say unto you, in no wise may you see me henceforth until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. All right. So we see, let's go to Acts 4.
What was that last scripture?
That's Matthew, the whole chapter is 23. Long time about, woe to you scribes, hypocrites. Can you imagine?
Scribes.
Well, you're talking about a TV evangelist and telling to the church leaders, hypocrites. Like, hey, there's some out there. Obviously, Yahweh is God's prophet, God's prophet. They're not as what you think. All right, very simply. 14, or chapter 4, sorry, 17. And here's what the adversary wants us to do. Stop it. Stop speaking. Don't speak the truth. Very simple. So here is the church telling them to quit speaking. And that's the same thing will happen to every one of us. And we usually condone. So 17. And this is before the Pharisees and the high priests. Nevertheless, let it further spread abroad among the people. Let us charge them with threats to be no more speaking upon this name to any soul of man. And charging them, they gave them a sweeping charge not to be sounding aloud, nor even to be teaching upon the name of Yahushua. But Peter and John, I love his answering, and said unto them, whether it be right and in the presence of Yahweh unto you to be hearkening rather than to Yahweh judge. But we cannot but be speaking the things which we have seen and heard. They, however, further charging them with threats, and that's always it. Now think of that. Our adversary is threatening to conform, to conform, to conform. Because we can control the conditions by conforming the doctrine. But they, however, further charging with threats, let them go, finding nothing as to how they might chastise them, on account of the people, because all were glorifying Yahweh for that which had come to pass. For more than 40 years old was the man who had been taken with this healing sign. Now we go to chapter 5, verse 40. Another incident. This is after they were all in prison, and the messenger came and let him out and said, go back in the temple and do what?
Speak the truth.
Speak the truth. And even Gamaliel, I mean, you got here, he was a teacher of Paul. The people got to realize, I'm missing something here. I'm really missing something here. And so they should, and they said a lot of priests turn to Christ. But you're looking at this, this is completely out of our range.
Yeah.
But this is where they are. Let's see here, 40 verse, yeah. And they were persuaded by him and calling upon them the apostles that was being charged them not to be speaking upon the name of Yahushua and let them go. They therefore went rejoicing from the presence of the high council and that they had been accounted worthy in behalf of the name to suffer dishonor. And every day in the temple and at home they ceased not to be teaching and telling the good news as to the anointed Yahushua. That's what we get to do on Facebook every day. Now think of that. If you're on any social media, you have an opportunity to every day lead people to truth. Not in the Trinity, not to a certain thing, but to the truth. Chapter 6, we know about Stephen. You know, they couldn't stand Stephen. And so they had him murdered because he would not stop. Now, so the summation is the marks of the beast. I'm going to say marks. It's not the mark of the beast. But think about what controls the church today, the Christian church. The Trinity is absolutely number one, which breaks the first commandment right off the bat. And it's been going on since probably 300 A.D. And you are ostracized. And you are called a Mormon, or you're called a Jehovah's Witnesses if you do not bow to that. Now think of that. You have to bow to the Trinity or you're out. That's a severe conformity. The dead are alive. What better way for an adversary to teach people that commit suicide. Because if you get to commit suicide as a Christian, you go where?
Heaven.
To heaven. What kind of demonic
abortion
doctrine?
Abortion is good too.
Yeah.
So yeah. Euthanasia.
I mean, it's just amazing that this actually comes from the lips of the rulers of the church. And how about the other one is Yahweh? My God, if you won't say Yahweh, that tells me tons of who you are. Isn't that a sad state? Not a sad state. It's an abominable state. And the other thing is not as important is don't speak in tongues. Or you cannot, not don't, you cannot speak in tongues. And so when I look at Dallas Theological Seminary's statement of beliefs as examples, you'll see all these examples that healing is not available. The ultimate healing is when we get our resurrected bodies. So healing is not available. What they call the gifts of the Spirit are not available. And so that's Satan, because speaking in tongues and power is absolutely what he doesn't want.
Right.
And so where is it coming from? These same people. Now, some of them are blinded, and Yahweh knows their heart.
Yeah.
And when you've got three gods, and that's part of the requirement, but with us, we don't go that route. And I'm going to teach my friends the truth, but I must be able to be equipped to be able to teach them the truth.
Yeah.
So we'll end on that, spiritual warfare. But we win, and we're empowered, and don't conform. Be nice, but don't conform. Very simply, and people see that. Nobody talks like Elijah. I've never seen him address the Trinity and things like that. And it's just such a simple way to go bam, 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 bam. And all of a sudden, they're dead alive now. If they're dead alive now, then suicide is
good.
Gets you into heaven. And aborted babies are going to heaven, which is great. And why would I ever pray for anybody who's sick? Because that's going to stop them from going to heaven. Because we want them to die, actually. And that is the Christian church. I mean, it has nothing to do with Yahweh, but that is a doctrine of demons. Well, Father, we're going to hear from our Heavenly Father prophecy. Father, we thank you for these words. Be bold and courageous, because you are my sons and my daughters, who I blessed with the greatest spiritual abilities. Be not comfortable in where you are, but keep pushing forward and getting more knowledge and more exuberance and more willingness to help the people who are lost, for the guides of the blind, that you can be my light. You can direct them to my word, where all truth prevails. Amen. See you next week.